This is White Sox Weekly. Your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago. Now here's your host, Connor McKnight.
Good afternoon and welcome in to White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000. I'm Connor McKnight, and you can celebrate 125 years of White Sox baseball and lock in a 2025 ticket plan today. Be here for the biggest matchups, exciting new promotions, and opening day on Thursday, March 27th. Plus, get access to the best seats at the best value, flexible payment plans, savings on single games, and more. To secure your ticket plan, visit whitesox.com/2025. That's whitesox.com/2025. Well, we are in the thick of it right now. The playoffs are well underway. The CSs in both the American League and the National League are doing their thing. The Mets have, I don't know, somehow gotten this thing back to 3-2 with a 12-6 win over the Dodgers yesterday. I don't know how you feel about the earlier starts to some of these games. Not so much in the CS, although I think that the Yankees and Guardians' first game of that ALCS started at, I think it was a 1 o'clock start or a 2 o'clock start, something like that. Maybe it was a little later in the day. Felt like a really early start to me. I don't mind it at all, although I'm not working in this offseason, unfortunately. I wish I were, but I'm not. So, you know, I get to sit at home and watch some of these games and then go pick up my daughter from daycare and listen on the radio in like the sixth or so. But I would imagine a lot of people are stuck at work. And whatever gets it to a different audience, a different feel. I hear tell from baseball fans of an older generation with a lot of day baseball going on in the playoffs, and that, you know, that meant something to them. It was kind of a cool thing for everybody to watch at that time, and bringing that back a little bit feels somewhat cool. Save a little bit of the commentary or a little bit more of it, I guess, on the division series that wrapped up and the CS that's going on right now on either side for a little bit later on in the show. We had a lot to get to here on White Sox Weekly, and a lot of it is, you know, it's tough news is what it is. You know, there are rumors back and forth. There are names in the managerial search. It's tough in that it's difficult to talk about hypotheticals, I think, on a show like this. Or at least it can be at times. Because it's one thing to have the conversation, you and me, about, well, what if this player comes to the White Sox? Or what if this start goes well? Or what if this prospect progresses in a good way, like we were talking about with Paul Janisch when we were talking about the Arizona Fall League. Paul, the director of White Sox player development in last week's show. You know, those are our conversations that as a baseball broadcaster that we're kind of, you know, well-versed in, we get how these conversations go. Larger talks, whether it's about the managerial opening, which, you know, we've got some handle on, kind of understand that, right? Seen it before, done it before. Still kind of a curious thing in that, you know, the team and the individual candidates, I'm talking about a neutral, you know, whatever managerial search you're talking about, just a generic one. There's some benefit to having names out there, right? Both for the team and for the candidates. You think of other jobs, you know, you want somebody else to know that you're interviewing for the next step up, because if you don't get it, that makes other people look at you differently, other organizations, your own organization, all that kind of stuff. It's a good thing. So you can understand why, you know, leaks and names might get dropped or thrown out there. And from the organization side, whether it's the White Sox or anybody else, you want people to know kind of what you're looking for. You want most of it done behind the scenes and in a controlled manner, in a way that you can control the manner in which you're searching, for sure. But you do want, you know, some names leaked out, especially if you've got, you know, a candidate that you really like that, you know, may not be as interested in the job as perhaps you'd hope. Or maybe it's a guy that, you know, you think might be, you know, an unknown, and you'd like for some reporters or whatever to kind of drum up that name a little bit, to get that name recognition up some, so that your fans have a little bit better understanding of who that guy is. when the hire gets made. You know, whatever. I'm just kind of spitballing here as to reasons an organization might want some names out there, but there certainly are plenty of them. It's not often where you hear of a complete out-of-nowhere name get hired as a major league manager these days. It just doesn't quite work like that. So we'll get into some of the candidates that have been talked about and some of the reporting that's been done around the White Sox managerial search here in a little bit. I've dug into five different names? Is that what I sat around and did the other night? Yeah. We'll talk about Danny Lehman of the Dodgers. We'll talk about Donnie Ecker of the Rangers. We'll talk about A.J. Ellis with the Padres. We'll talk about George Lombard with the Tigers, and we'll talk about Clayton McCullough of the Dodgers as well. Told you we would in last week's show. So that's, yeah, five different candidates that we'll go through on today's show. You know, some bio kind of stuff, some background kind of things, see if we can find some common threads between some of these. And then, you know, I suppose it's probably worth updating here on the show, or at least early on in the show, where things sit now, or at least where John Becker of Baseball Prospectus has things on the managerial vacancy matrices. John's a really good writer, reporter for Baseball Prospectus and some other places as well. And he runs, we mentioned this on last week's show, he runs a open Excel spreadsheet that has, for all managerial openings, front office openings, coaching staff openings, all this stuff, all of the names mentioned as candidates for the job, for whatever job, you know, we're talking about. And when you go over to the White Sox spot right now, and this is, I think, been updated recently, you've got a ton of names. Clayton McCullough, Will Venable, Donnie Ecker, Grady Sizemore, Phil Nevin, Daniel Descalso, George Lombard, A.J. Ellis, Danny Lehman, all as candidates or interviewees or leading candidates or what have you. And then a whole bunch of other names that he files as speculative candidates, you know, the other kind of outside sort of things. You know, guys like Buck Showalter or Sergio Santos, who has mentioned that he'd like to be considered for the job. He's the White Sox AA manager. Or Justin Gerschle, who you would presume to be a candidate for the job, at least probably. He was the White Sox third base coach toward the end of the year and managed AAA Charlotte for most of the rest of the season. Skip Schumacher's name is out there. Obviously, I think we can assume that he is a candidate, though we've not seen any more reporting other than, yeah, we would presume he is a candidate. That would be an interesting one. Carlos Beltran's name has been out there, too. So all these kinds of names are out there, and we'll go through five of them in this afternoon show, tell you a little bit more about each guy. But the biggest news around the White Sox is not something that we can kind of necessarily beat around the bush on, and it is certainly some big reporting that's not been met with any kind of response quite yet. So what we're going to talk about here are reports, follow-ups to those reports, and speculation, as informed as it can be, I suppose, about a report that came out in The Athletic from Brittany Grioli about the White Sox, about Chairman Jerry Reinsdorf being interested in or having some interest or conversation or talks about a potential sale of the team. Now, this is not something that comes completely out of the blue, in as much as this has been, this team, this organization, this franchise has been part of the Reinsdorf family for so long. There have been conversations going on here for the better part of 2 years, I believe, if my calendar math is right, about a potential new ballpark for the White Sox in a potential new neighborhood for Chicago in the 78, right, which would be in the South Loop. We talked about that quite a bit last offseason when that news was perking up a whole lot. It's no secret that the White Sox are, if not at, certainly nearing an era of potential change, right? It's clear that the ownership and organization is in search of where they'll play next, right? And that's not the case for every team in Major League Baseball. And when that starts to happen, I would imagine that larger conversations come along with that conversation, right? The White Sox lease at Guaranteed Rate Field is up after the 2029 season. So even, you know, the big sweeping things that we're talking about here, I would guess, are likely tied to a date somewhere closer to that than to anything immediate. I won't speak for anybody in ownership, obviously, and of course, I know you're screaming at the radio right now, going, "No, no kidding!" But I think it's been pretty clear that this is a love and a passion for White Sox ownership, and has been for decades. I don't imagine that necessarily changing overnight. And for those who haven't, read the report necessarily, it's one that is. It mentions Dave Stewart, former Oakland A's pitcher, former Diamondbacks general manager, and who had been attached to a group that was seeking to drum up interest in a potential expansion franchise in Nashville, Tennessee. Stewart has since left that particular group, but remains part of an investment group that is trying to either procure or get into the expansion business when Major League Baseball expands, which most think is probably going to come up here toward the end of the decade, going from 30 to 32 teams. As to where those teams might play, it's kind of anybody's guess at this point. I suppose not anybody's guess. There's a handful of cities that might make some interesting targets. But Stewart is the guy, or at least the front man, for that group right now that Britt Grioli of The Athletic has said was in talks or had talked with. That has since been pushed back by the White Sox, according to a lot of different, talk show hosts, whether here on ESPN 1000 or reporters in different places. I wouldn't necessarily, or I guess, kind of summing things up and synthesizing things as best we can here on this show, I wouldn't categorize anything anybody said as particularly imminent, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on. I mean, this last year was quite something. Setting the record for 121 losses, you would imagine that a lot of things get thought about after a season like that. It's only human. It's only a human thing to do. But I think largely, or maybe even more germane, is when conversations like the one the White Sox have been having about where they're going to play next start happening at a really, or at least a fairly granular level, right? Like, where are we getting the money? How much money are we chipping in? How much public funding do we want to ask for? How much public funding can we get? All those different types of essentially political things that you've got to talk about, whether it's actually like, capital P political, or whether it's, the business dealings that you might otherwise characterize as a little bit political in nature. That kind of stuff kind of makes you think about the rest of it, I would guess, and leads to other conversations that, either get reported one way or another, or perhaps get slanted one way or the other, or, quite frankly, and let's, call it like it is, used to, angle things one way or the other, whether that's, Stewart or the White Sox or reporting or Major League Baseball, right? I mean, everybody's got, it's kind of like a Bing Crosby line from White Christmas. Everybody's working an angle. And that's kind of the nature of the game at this point in Major League Baseball in 2024. We're not blind to it here on the show. There's a lot of what ifs and a lot of what have yous. And quite frankly, at this point, I think the more immediate conversation for us is about the managerial search and what's going to happen next for this team. Now, if some of those conversations or some of those rumors and reports turn out to be something more concrete, as talked about perhaps by the club itself, then the questions need to be asked about, and we'll talk about them here on the show, about how that affects what the White Sox are trying to do, are doing, rather, to be a better baseball club in 2025 and beyond. But up until that point, I think we've just kind of got to deal and live in the hypothetical, as, uncomfortable as that is. When we come back, we'll get into some of the names the White Sox have talked about, or at least reports have talked about the White Sox talking to for their managerial job. We've done the deep dive on five different candidates reported to be of interest to the White Sox as they search for their next manager. We'll get to that when we come back on White Sox Weekly. You got ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight. Celebrate your special occasion in 2025 with the White Sox party area. Reserve your group outing today to get access to top matchups and the best spaces For more information and to secure your group outing, visit whitesox.com/groups. I'm Connor McKnight. Been talking a little bit about the news around the White Sox. The report's out. Covered that in the first segment. We got more reports, though. That's the season, right? That's the time of year for teams, unfortunately, not in the playoffs. We're just kind of following reports. And for the White Sox, some of the most important ones are about the next manager of the ball club. There are, and we did this last week. If you want to go back and listen through old shows, you can. Love to have you do that. Go to the ESPN, download the ESPN Chicago app. Every show here on White Sox Weekly is downloadable for at your leisure and at your pleasure. You can go back and listen to the three profiles we did on potential White Sox managers last week if you're interested. We covered Will Venable last week. We covered Phil Nevin last week. And we got to Daniel Descalso, the Cardinals bench coach, last week. This week, we have a five-pack for you. We're going to do deep dives on some names that have been reported in different places. Clayton McCullough of the Dodgers, as first reported by the estimable Bruce Levine of 670 The Score. Yes, I mentioned the name up the dial. Bruce is a reporter and has been for a very long time. Was here before he was there, for what it's worth. And he's doing a damn good job of covering both teams in this town. Credit where credit's due. He had this name first. Clayton McCullough, right now, is the first base coach for the Dodgers. But before that, he went in the 22nd round to Cleveland in 2002 as a player. He's from North Carolina, went to East Carolina, and got as far as AAA in the minors. So, you know, last week we talked about the guys who had all had major league experience. And while that seems to be an important thing for Chris Getz in the front office as they search for the new manager, it is absolutely, it doesn't seem to be imperative as McCullough and a lot of others that we're going to mention here did not make the major leagues as a player. McCullough's final season playing in the minors was 2005. He spent 1 year at East Carolina as a volunteer assistant coach. In 2007, he was hired as a manager in the Blue Jays system. So coaching experience. He started managing rookie ball and managed as high as A ball, high A, actually, before being hired by the Dodgers as their minor league field coordinator. McCullough was named first base coach of the Dodgers in 2021. And I think this is kind of interesting, too. I forgot, and we talked about this a lot back in the day. McCullough was in charge of the alternate site during the 2020 season. Remember the alt site reports, right? We talk about Garrett Crochet at the alt site and what he's been doing. Andrew Vaughn at the alt site and what he's been doing back in the pandemic era of 2020, where we did not have minor league ball, but a lot of teams sent most of their top prospects, I shouldn't say a lot, all teams sent most of their top prospects and minor leaguers to the alt site. The White Sox had theirs. I think it's Schaumburg, if memory serves. And that alt site was run by kind of a mix of minor league coaches and roving coaching staff. And you needed somebody to run it. From what I understand, it was a lot like running a spring training, you know, kind of organizing some of those games and drills and all that kind of stuff. And McCullough was in charge of the alt site in 2020. So while he doesn't have, you know, major league managerial experience, I would put that as something he did that would absolutely be on the resume. Honest to God, I don't even know if major, maybe this is something we'll ask Clayton or whomever else gets hired as the manager for the White Sox. I don't know whether or not a manager shows up with a resume or not. I feel like for a lot of these jobs, you know, you get high enough in baseball or really any kind of work of life, walk of life, in your work, and you kind of show up without the resume. If you're good enough, you know, people know you and they're bringing you in because they know what you've done. You don't have to bring that resume to the interview anymore. That's probably the situation we're in. Anyway, McCullough managed the alt site in 2020. The Dodgers had that at the USC campus. And McCullough then replaced George Lombard, who we will talk about next, as the first base coach for the Dodgers. Lombard left for the Tigers to be the bench coach to A.J. Hinch and is a candidate for the White Sox job right now. Back to McCullough. He interviewed for the Guardians job that went to Stephen Vogt this year. He interviewed for the Mets and Royals jobs 2 years ago. The Mets hired Carlos Beltran, who did not end up managing, and Matt Quatraro got hired by the Royals. Both of those teams made the playoffs this year. He also, McCullough, interviewed for the Giants job in 2019. So he has been thought of for a little while here as, you know, a managerial candidate, one of the guys that might be next for any number of teams. His dad, Howard McCullough, is a longtime scout and was the head of the scouting department for the Diamondbacks in like the mid-2000s. Howard was most recent with the Royals. So still active, almost 40 years in the scouting game. So you could say that Clayton McCullough definitely comes from a baseball family. What's interesting here, too, is that Clayton McCullough would then have a background of at least some kind with Miguel Vargas, Nick Nastrini, and Jordan Leisure, as he was spending a lot of time in player development with the Dodgers back when those guys were in player development with the Dodgers. He's got a pretty good relationship, as it's been reported by a couple of different places, with Miguel Vargas, and spent a lot of time working with Vargas on his defense at various spots the Dodgers had him playing. He's playing a lot more outfield in those days with the Dodgers, and a little bit of second base as well. We saw him almost exclusively, save for one game and left, at third base with the White Sox in 2024. And even though the season did not go well for Miguel Vargas with the White Sox, you know, this was the guy that the White Sox targeted as a big piece they could get back in the Eric Fetty, Michael Kopech, Tommy Pham trades. And Vargas will, I would assume, be counted on to make a giant leap in terms of production from 2024 to 2025. And having a guy around who he trusts shouldn't be the only thing or the biggest, you know, scale tipper when it comes to making the decision for Chris Getz and the White Sox front office, but it is certainly something to consider. All right, so from McCullough to George Lombard. And in a way, the Dodgers did exactly that in the opposite. They went from George Lombard to Clayton McCullough. Lombard was the first base coach of the Dodgers, as we'll talk about in a little bit here. And when Lombard left to be the bench coach for the Tigers, where he is right now, McCullough filled in. More on Lombard. He was drafted by the Braves in the second round in 1994. Made his debut in Major League Baseball in 98. Cups of coffee in 99 and 2000. And I know what you're thinking. The Braves made the playoffs in all of those years. Lombard did not play in either of the any of those postseason runs, unfortunately. Just cups of coffee in those 3 years. He was traded to the Tigers for Chris Keller, 2Ks, in 2002 and played about half a season for Detroit. Was taken off waivers by the Rays in 03, played 38 games for the Rays that year. After the Rays, he goes to the minors for the Red Sox and the Nationals, played his last MLB ball for Washington, 26 games in 2006, and then minor league work with the Dodgers, Marlins, and Indians, then the Indians in 2009. What's interesting about Lombard is you read some of the, you know, the bio pieces on him, and the most interesting man alive comes up a lot. He's just got a lot of connections to a whole bunch of different things. And I'll read you some of this in a little bit from another piece, really actually from his wiki page in just a second. It's pretty wild. But Lombard was going to play football at Georgia as a running back. Apparently he was a hot deal as a running back. Before he changed his mind, he got drafted by the Braves, like I mentioned. Lombard was recruited by Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier and Bobby Bowden before deciding he was going to go to Georgia, then changing his mind and going to the MLB draft. Lombard is the first American baseball player to have ever hit a home run in China. The Dodgers and Padres played two games in China in 2008, and Lombard hit a homer for the Dodgers that year. He did not make the big league club, unfortunately, in that season. He started coaching in 2010. He was a hitting coach in short season ball in the Red Sox system. From 11 to 12, he managed that rookie league team with the Red Sox and then was promoted to be the roving outfield coach and base running coach. In 2015, his coaching career takes the next really big step. He gets hired by the Braves as the minor league field coordinator. Remember that title, because it's going to be applied to a lot of the guys that we're going to talk about here over the next few minutes. Minor league field coordinator for the Braves in 15. He goes to the Dodgers in 16 to be the first base coach at the major league level. Stayed there through 2020. So George Lombard has a World Series ring for the Dodgers' win over the Rays in the pandemic season. In 2021, Lombard took the next step up. He was hired by the Tigers to be the bench coach for A.J. Hinch. Now, what's interesting about that hiring is that Lombard was interviewed to be the Tigers' manager, and that job went to A.J. Hinch. Still, the Tigers were apparently so impressed by Lombard in the interview, and you know, Hinch obviously has to, you know, kind of understand this and accede to it, if not push for it. Lombard gets hired as the bench coach for a job he didn't get. I think that tells you a lot about the character and quality of a guy like that. It would be completely understandable, believe me, completely understandable for somebody to, you know, not want to have the number two job when you couldn't get the number one job. It would be difficult to find success in that. It could be absolutely tough, you know, psychologically to be there thinking that I should have been the guy and AJ's not the guy and it should be me and whatnot. It takes a lot to do that, to put yourself in that situation. Lombard was apparently has been able to do it for years now and has only interviewed for more and more spots along the way. So I put that a big feather in his cap as far as the character of it. Now, back to the most interesting man alive scenario for George Lombard. This is from his wiki page, and I'm just going to read it straight to you because it's fascinating. George's late mother, Posey Lombard of Weston, Massachusetts, who died in a car accident with his grandfather at the wheel when he was 10 years old, was a noted civil rights activist and associate of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The Civil Rights Movement Archive lists Posey Lombard on its In Memory page. His maternal grandfather taught at the Harvard Business School for 41 years and was the school's former dean and professor of human relations. It's wild. I've got a quote about Lombard from another piece that I found when I kind of researching him. It's from Dodger assistant hitting coach Tim Hires, who's known him for a very long time and was kind of part of the conversation getting Lombard over to the Dodgers in the first place. Here's what Hires said. Lombard is very, very high energy, a player's coach, high energy every single day, love of the game, and a love to get better every single day. He's going to bring some energy, some passion, and the desire to get better that day and go win. Lombard has a degree, a bachelor's degree in psychology, and he got that degree the very same day he got the first base coach job with the Dodgers. Lombard's name has come up before. He interviewed for the White Sox job when he went to Pedro Grifol prior to the 2023 season. Rumors have the Marlins interested in Lombard this year as well. He interviewed in 2019 for the Pirates job. He interviewed for the Tigers job that went to Hinch, like I mentioned, and was a coach on the 2016 Dodgers team, which, you know, that team had A.J. Ellis on it. And we'll talk about A.J. Ellis next because he is reportedly a candidate for the White Sox managerial job. So from George Lombard to A.J. Ellis when we come back here on White Sox Weekly.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000. 1000.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight, and White Sox fans, customize your 2025 season with the new 10-ticket all-access pack and get access to opening day and the Crosstown Series against the Cubs, starting at only $224. Pick the number of games and seats that work for your schedule. To purchase, visit whitesox.com/flexpack. Getting back into the managerial candidates, as we found from reports all over the place. Got to a few already in the first two segments of the show. We talked about Clayton McCullough of the Dodgers. We talked about George Lombard of the Detroit Tigers. And that brings us to A.J. Ellis, who we'll talk about here. Now, in case you missed last week's show, we went through three of the candidates on that show that have been reported. You can go check out and listen to that one. And some big credit to local reporting here, too, because whether it's A.J. Ellis or two of the guys we're going to talk about next, local reporters dug up some of these, and we'll credit those names specifically when we get to those guys. But let's deal with Ellis. As I mentioned, Ellis was a player for the Dodgers in 2016 and was a member of that club while George Lombard, the guy we talked about last, was the first base coach for the Dodgers. But going back to Ellis here, drafted by the Dodgers in the 18th round of the 2003 draft. Ellis is a Kentucky-born Tennessee guy. He went to Austin Peay in Clarksville, Tennessee, and spent his whole minor league career in the Dodgers organization, debuted in 2008. He played just four games that season, but made his debut. Get this, this is some fun names. He made his debut as a pinch runner for Nomar Garcia-Parra and scored on a home run by Russell Martin. He played 10 games in 2009. 2010 is really where he starts to get his run as a defense first catcher, 128 games in 2010. He got his break that year when Brad Ausmus a former manager of the Tigers and Angels, went on the IL that season. He played for Don Mattingly. He caught Clayton Kershaw's no-hitter in 2014. In fact, Ellis, for a good long while, was kind of the personal catcher for Clayton Kershaw. Ellis, you know, like a lot of guys, you could go back through baseball's history, and there have been a whole bunch of, some guys say caddy, you know, like Ellis was the caddy for Clayton Kershaw. I find that to be a little bit derogatory. I guess that's baseball parlance. It is what it is. Ellis was Kershaw's caddy for a little while, but he lost his job in the Dodgers as kind of the primary catcher for the Dodgers when they signed former White Sox catcher Yasmani Grandal in 2015. We're connecting things here. Traded to the Phillies in 2016 for Carlos Ruiz. Signed with the Marlins in 2017. Backed up JT Realmuto for a little while. Signed with the Padres in 2018 for his final MLB run. And as I mentioned, he never hit much, but was regarded as an excellent defensive catcher with a very good arm, was very aggressive on the base paths, and really good at throwing guys out. After his playing career is done in 2019, he joins the Padres front office as a special assistant to the baseball operations department. And that, from what I understand and from what I've read from a lot of different places, it's a wide-ranging role that had a lot to do with hands-on player development. And last year took up even more wide-ranging role working with both MLB and minor league personnel. So more player development background here as well. Ellis kind of stands out here as the guy who may have the fewest kind of connections, I guess, to the current White Sox front office. Maybe there's something we haven't unearthed yet. Maybe there's just, you know, one weird thing or connection that's yet to manifest itself that, you know, 3 weeks from now I'll look back at it and go, God, why didn't I catch that? I'm not a great researcher. I do what I can. But he does not have a coaching background of any kind. No managerial background, no coaching background. Ellis and George Lombard, who we talked about before, do not have connections with Chris Getz, as best as I can tell. The one exception there would be when Lombard interviewed for the White Sox job a couple of years ago when that job went to Pedro Grifol. We don't know whether Chris Getz, who was an assistant general manager, I believe that was part of his title at the time, but the director of player development, was in on any of the interviews or perhaps had crossed paths with Lombard as he was interviewing for the job. Stands to reason it's entirely possible. Not entirely sure. On to the next candidate. This one is Donnie Ecker of the Rangers. And it's a big hat tip to the boys at SoxMachine.com. James Fegan and Josh Nelson dug this one up, so credit to the reporting there. And now more on Ecker. He was drafted in 2007 by the Rangers in 2022 out of Lewis and Clark in Lewiston, Idaho. Apparently, Ecker was a pretty damn good quarterback in high school. He was recruited at Nevada, but the Wolfpack went with a different guy. They offered a quarterback named Colin Kaepernick instead. I have to get to the bottom of that if Ecker ends up being the hire. Actually, was a college football reporter early on in my career out of college, and I covered a game Colin Kaepernick quarterbacked at Nevada. They beat Idaho, I think, in that game. But wouldn't it have been funny if Donnie Ecker was that quarterback for Nevada? And now I had covered, well, for me it would have been funny. For you it just would have been a thing. But I get it. I might have been able to cover the future White Sox manager's college football game. It would have been weird. Anyway, Ecker played 2 years of minor league ball before heading to the independent leagues from 2009 to 2010. He played for the Windy City Thunderbolts in Crestwood, so just west of us here. And the manager of that Crestwood Thunderbolts club was Mike Kashurski. And those of you who have been, you know, kind of a hawk in the White Sox coaching staff for years now would say, Mike Kashurski, you mean Cash? Yeah, Cash. Mike Kashurski, he has been on the White Sox coaching staff for some time now and is still a member of the White Sox coaching staff. So he, Mike, was the manager of Donnie Ecker back in independent ball 15 years ago, which is just kind of wild. Ecker was a high school coach after his playing career ended, and spent a few years doing that while also simultaneously working with a top-tier amateur baseball program, the California Baseball Club. I'd not heard of it prior to doing some research here, but you look into it, and it's just kind of one of those, you know, elite, think AAU in terms of basketball, it, you know, travel kind of baseball league, independent league, amateur baseball program. Chris Bubich, James Outman, Trevor Larnach, all major leaguers of different shades, played in that system for the California Baseball Club while Ecker was a part of the organization. Ecker was then hired by the Cardinals in 2015 to work in player development. He was there for 3 years. He was a hitting coach at high A ball in 15 and 17 while working around in player development as well. And in 2018, Ecker went to the Angels organization to jump up to the AAA level and be the hitting coach there. The Reds picked him up in 2019 as their assistant hitting coach and then added on the director of hitting title as a bump in the next season. Giants got him from the Reds in 2021. Then before the 2022 season, the Rangers got Ecker to be their bench coach and offensive coordinator. That is literally his title. He has a football title, the former football player, as his title. I'm going to read a little bit from James Fegan's piece on SoxMachine.com, only a little bit because I highly encourage you to go read it and find his reporting because he is absolutely fantastic and one hell of a beat reporter and wrote up a really good one here. But I am going to nab just a couple of brief sentences from him. So thanks, James. I hope you don't mind. He writes, since Ecker has been on the Rangers coaching staff, he was a holdover after Chris Woodward was fired and eventually replaced with Bruce Bochy. And that decision seemingly paid off, Fegan writes, since the Rangers won the 2023 World Series after leading the American League in every significant offensive category and won the very first issuance of the Team Silver Slugger Award. In the Rangers media guide, they cite that Ecker incorporates, quote, human movement research and, quote, technology-based applications to his instruction, and then he holds biomechanical certification as a, quote, integrated movement specialist. Fegan continues, all of these are pretty sweet qualifications for a hitting coach, but Ecker has a reputation as a charismatic communicator that comes into greater play as manager. His time with the Giants means that he comes with a recommendation from Brian Bannister and Ethan Katz. A source indicates a strong interview has kept him in contention. Ecker was interviewed, we're done with Fegan's piece. Thanks a ton, James. Appreciate you. And he points out two really important things here, that he worked with Brian Bannister and Ethan Katz in that Giants organization. And as he's reporting, James is interviewed really well. I'm just kind of guessing at this, given conversations that I've had. I guess you could call this informative speculation. But I tend to think that having some sort of managerial experience, whether that be at the major league or minor league level, or extensive experience is going to be a big-time plus as the White Sox search for this next manager. And I think Ecker would probably be a dark horse here if not for those connections to Bannister and Katz and the strong interview that Fegan quotes here. It'll be really interesting to see. It's not that the White Sox are the first team to think of Donnie Ecker as a potential manager. He interviewed with the Giants for their open managerial spot that went to Bob Melvin this last winter. So he's being thought of as a guy out there. It'll take a team, it seems to me, in the right spot at the right time to be willing to, and I'm going to use the most giant air quotes here because this is just a phrase that's trying to catch some, and is probably catching more than it needs to, that's going to take a bit of a risk on the managerial hire. And I get that no team really does that. When a team makes a hire at manager, they really truly believe they did it, right? They knocked this one out of the park. We did this. Our process worked. We got our guy, that whole thing. And that's what will happen if and when Ecker gets his managerial job. But in outside looking in, hiring a guy that's got these kind of qualifications without, you know, the necessary coaching stuff, you know, the managerial spot, the throwing signs down and deciding when to hit and run, or when are you going to this guy out of the bullpen and all that kind of thing. It seems like this would be the dark horse kind of candidate, though I really like the work that he's done, especially when you pair it with the needs the White Sox have. The White Sox do not have offensive up-and-comers in the numbers they'd like to. Yes, there's Edgar Caro, and yes, there's Colson Montgomery, and Brian Ramos hopefully will have a much better season in 2025 than he did in 24, same for Miguel Vargas, but there are not a lot of names that you can count on to be like those next dudes in the lineup, and perhaps having a guy like Ecker around one way or the other would really help push that to the next level. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to our last candidate, also unearthed by the boys at SoxMachine.com. That's Danny Lehman of the Dodgers. He is the bench coach for Dave Roberts. We'll talk about him. And just a few more things before we close it up here on White Sox Weekly. It's ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
We're closing it up here on White Sox Weekly. Sox fans sign up to become a White Sox insider for updates on the 125-year anniversary celebration next season. Get all the latest updates on games, promos, breaking team news, and other exciting Sox content delivered free to your inbox. Visit whitesox.com/insider today. We have been bioing the candidates, the reported candidates for the White Sox manager job here over the last 2 weeks on White Sox Weekly. We've done four different bios to potential managers already on the show, plus three last week, and we'll make it, that'd be an even eight with Danny Lehman, a Dodgers bench coach, another name that SoxMachine.com, Josh Nelson and James Fegan came up with, or sourced rather, reported earlier this week. A bit on Lehman, and there's not a whole lot of bio here, so just because I've saved him for last, it really means just this. Yeah, the bio is just a little bit shorter. So Lehman went to Rice University and played baseball there. He was not there, however, at the same time as Paul Janisch, the White Sox director of player development, who we talked to on the show last week. Lehman went to the Woodland High School and was 2 or 3 years older than Paul Goldschmidt, who was also a player at the Woodlands High School. I would imagine there's some stories there. Actually, Kyle Drabek, who was briefly a White Sox in 2015, played on that same team in high school as Lehman and Goldschmidt as well. I would imagine they won a lot of baseball games. Lehman was drafted in the eighth round by the Twins in 2005 out of Rice. Spent 7 years in the system, got as high as AAA, was in that Twin system with guys like Trevor Plouffe and Wilson Ramos and Anthony Swarzak. He was actually a teammate in AAA of White Sox catching coach Drew Butera. So there's some connection there, a familiarity between some of those guys and, you know, potentially fellas that would be on the same coaching staff if the hire gets made, if it is Danny Lehman that's going to be the White Sox new manager. You could hardly do worse than hiring a guy from an organization like the Dodgers with the both experience in terms of high-end production and player development as they've got, and also just kind of the system that they've put together for getting the best out of their players. So Danny Lehman, the final candidate, at least today, here on White Sox Weekly. A couple other notes that I wanted to get to here before we say goodbye. Also, this on the prospects. We talked a lot to Paul Janisch about the guys at the Arizona Fall League for the White Sox this year, and Grant Taylor is a guy we talked about quite a bit, one of the top arms out there in the Arizona Fall League. And Jim Callis of MLB.com had a note in his latest column about Grant Taylor, about a lot of prospects who might break into the top 100 after the results of the Arizona Fall League post. And he said Grant Taylor is absolutely a guy he could see breaking into the top 100 if he has a good Arizona Fall League. And to this point, things have been pretty good for Taylor. He also noted this. He was looking for, he got asked in the mailbag, I guess, you know, what teams would be open to trading some prospects who might be blocked. And, you know, kind of the normal suspects came up. He pointed out the Baltimore Orioles, still trying to figure out how to get bats for Jackson Holliday and Heston Kerstad. They went to the majors this year. Kobe Mayo is in the top 100. Catcher and first baseman Samuel Basalo, nearly ready too. Both seem like first base could be their spots as opposed to, you know, elsewhere on the infield or catching for Samuel Basalo. The Cubs also have some blocked players in guys like Matt Shaw and Owen Casey and Kevin Alcantara. Shaw's a third baseman. Casey and Alcantara is an outfielder. Moises Ballesteros, a catcher. And then James Triantos, a second baseman and perhaps even outfielder. The Cubs have a lot of guys locked up on that infield, and those prospects could move elsewhere. Of course, I'm thinking about positions or places, rather. The White Sox could look to shop for major league near talent in some of those instances, that in case of looking to trade Garrett Crochet in a couple of weeks or months or whatever, perhaps those are places and players that interest you. just a little bit. So that from Jim Callis on MLB.com. That's it for us here on the show this afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. We'll keep our ears open for any other names that come up as potential managers for the White Sox. Get to them next week on White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000.